It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown.
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible.
Well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is going to be huge.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Just when I think you said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
It goes like this.
Feels good to be heading home on a Thursday. Four down, one to go with this work week. This is the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Adam Lundy. Big hour on the way. College football playoff expansion. Check. It is now official. We'll talk about that. We also have updates on the Horizon League as the Mastodons get their Horizon League schedule started tonight. We've got Eric Dutkevich joining us this hour. And as we said, college football playoff expanding. It's going to be 12 teams, and it will happen now as soon as the 2024-2025 season, which means it'll be the 2024 football season, which the playoffs will then continue into early 2025. That is basically 2 years from now. Not next season, but the year after. Now, the first round of the playoff in 2024 is going to take place the week ending Saturday, December 21st at either the home field of the higher-seeded team or another site designated by the higher-seeded institution. You'll have number 12 at number 5. Number 11 will play at number 6. Number 10 would be at number 7. And number 9 would be at number 8. The specific game dates, likely late in the week, will be announced later. The 4 quarterfinal games and the 2 playoff semifinal games will be played in bowls on a rotating basis. Now, the reason this was announced basically today is because late last night, the Rose Bowl, who was a holdout, finally agreed to renegotiate their contract so they weren't left out of this whole process. And so you've got the Fiesta Bowl, Peach Bowl, Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Cotton Bowl, Orange Bowl, all hosting playoff semifinals. 2025 quarterfinals will be taking place, the Cotton Bowl, Orange Bowl, Rose Bowl, and Sugar Bowl, while the Fiesta Bowl and Peach Bowl are going to host the playoff semifinals. The specific dates for all the quarterfinal and semifinal games will then be announced at a later time. The Rose Bowl did not want to give up their slot. That was the big sticking point, was that the Rose Bowl felt they had a tradition. It was a New Year's Day game that was always going to be played at 2 o'clock Pacific time. And with this playoff, they might not be able to have the Rose Bowl at that specific time on that specific date. And that was kind of a holdup for the Rose Bowl. And now they're on board. They want to be part of this college football playoff expansion. And so everything has been agreed upon. And the national championship game for January of 2025 will be played in Atlanta, part of SEC country. The January 19th championship game of 2026 will be in Miami. Now, I wonder if that's Miami or if that's actually the Miami suburb where the Hard Rock Stadium is located, because the Hard Rock Stadium is kind of near Hollywood. It's, I don't know the specific community it's in, but it's actually, 30 minutes or so from downtown Miami. It's closer to Fort Lauderdale Airport than it is the Miami Airport, I can tell you that. But I'm sure that's where it's going to be played, would be the Hard Rock Stadium, home of the Miami Dolphins. So national championships in 2025, which would be the 2024 football season, in Atlanta, and the 2026 championship on January 19th, 2026 in Miami. Future sites of championship games will be announced at a later date. So, you know what I thought would be fun, Adam, is to take a look and see if this were approved this year, who would be in and who would play who? Okay, so we know 12 plays five. That would mean, as of right now, according to the college football playoff rankings, now we still got games to be played, so these could change, but you would have Michael Penix and Washington as the number 12 seed playing at Ohio State.
That'd be a good game, I think.
It'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
See what Penix could do with that Washington offense against maybe a suspect Ohio State defense. Then you would have Utah at Alabama.
I don't know if I feel the same way about that game, but it could be good.
Kansas State at Tennessee, this one to me has mismatch on it. I think Tennessee at home would win easily over Kansas State. And then you'd have Clemson, Penn State, which could be a good one.
Yeah.
That would be the initial round, and then the four teams getting the bye, number one, Georgia, number two, Michigan, number three, TCU, and number four, USC. But this is kind of long overdue. I think, you know, when you look at the fact that with the four we've got right now going into play this week, Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and USC, leaving out Ohio State, Alabama, Tennessee, all teams that probably are capable of winning a national championship but can't get into the party. Wouldn't you agree that Ohio State, Alabama, Tennessee, I don't think Penn State, I'm sorry, but I just don't think Penn State's in that same company. I don't think Clemson's in that same company. I think that's really where it stops. I think there's seven teams right now that are capable of winning a national championship. And when I say that, that includes TCU, and I don't know that they're capable of winning back-to-back games or back-to-back-to-back games against teams of this caliber. But Georgia, Michigan, USC, Ohio State, Alabama, and Tennessee, all of them, I think, could win three games in a row against this competition. TCU, I'm not so sure. And then when it goes below that, you've got Penn State, Clemson, Kansas State, Utah, and Washington. I don't think any of them would actually win three in a row, but at least they'd get an opportunity to say they made the college football playoff, and that would help them with recruiting, obviously, bragging point. I think this is a great thing. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think that having only four teams leaves a lot of good teams out that leave out some really good potential football games, so I'm looking forward to it.
Redshirt sophomore quarterback Dexter Williams went down with what appeared to be a pretty nasty injury in Indiana's game against Purdue.
Yep.
It was a nasty injury. We now have details that have been released by Indiana that Dexter Williams suffered a knee dislocation. I don't know about you, but just saying it makes my knee hurt. With significant structural damage to his knee in the 22 season finale against Purdue. Williams is going to be having surgery next week. He's going to be further evaluated at that time to determine kind of a timeline or what the expectation is as far as rehab. Dexter Williams has posted on Twitter that he'll be back, but this sounds like a pretty serious, complicated injury. Let's put it this way. If it was torn ACL versus what they're describing here, I think torn ACL would have been a better option. And it's not a good option to have. But a knee dislocation with significant structural damage does not sound good. And it sounds like it could be a while for Dexter Williams to return. On the positive side, I don't know if you heard about this. It actually happened a couple of days ago. We just haven't had a chance to get to it. So we'll go ahead and take care of that now. Bishop Dwenger grad Eva Hudson has been named Big Ten Freshman of the Year in women's volleyball. She has been dynamic all year long for the Boilermakers, becomes just the second Big Ten Freshman of the Year in Purdue history. The last came in 1986. She is the leader among all D1 freshmen in kills per set and was selected as the Big Ten Freshman of the Week 7 times during the season. Hudson was also selected 10 first team. Teammate and West Noble grad Maddie Schimmerhorn also named to the conference's second team. But congratulations, Ava Hudson. Quite the accomplishment. Big Ten Freshman of the Year and All-Conference in women's volleyball. Once again, your chance to win tickets to the Big Ten Championship game. And you can do that simply by texting the word Purdue to 46862. We've got tickets for Saturday night down at Lucas Oil Stadium. If you'd like to win, text Purdue to 46862 or go online to 1380thefan.com. Get yourself signed up. Do it now. Do it quickly. Because we are going to be picking a winner tomorrow, and we will be announcing that winner on the Sports Rush tomorrow afternoon. So don't wait. If you're a Boiler fan, Michigan fan, or just a college football fan, be part of the environment down in Indianapolis on us. Sign up now, Purdue to 46862 or 1380thefan.com. Quite simple, quite easy. No problem, right?
No problem at all.
Easy. Easy to win. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brett Rump, Adam Lundy. Of course, tonight the Horizon League play begins out of the Coliseum. Mastodons taking on former IU coach Mike Davis's Detroit Mercy Titans. Real quick question. I don't know if you know the answer to this, but the court at Callahan Hall at Detroit Mercy is named after a well-known coach slash broadcaster. Do you know who it is named after? Yep, it is Dickie V, Dick Vitale Court. But that won't come into play tonight with it being played here at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum. Antoine Davis, one of the most prolific scorers in NCAA history, is going to take the court. And tonight will likely, even if the Mastodons do a good job against him, he will likely become the all-time scoring champion of the Horizon League. But Mastodons, Detroit Mercy at the Coliseum. Chance for you to still come out and enjoy the game. So there's tickets available. You can get them at the door at the Coliseum. Come on out. Should be a good night of basketball out at the Coliseum. If for some reason you do not make it, you can always tune in. We'll have your coverage here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM and streaming worldwide on the 1380 The Fan app and at 1380thefan.com. Still to come, Eric Dutkevich. Dute will join us. We're going to start trying to look ahead to basketball season. I know that we've already got it started, but we can't really focus on it until we're done with football. Football just ended last weekend, so we go right into basketball, kind of get an update on where things stand and some of the teams that Dute thinks have the best chance to win the conference. Area conference races. We'll talk to Eric Dutkevich from Parkview Sports Medicine coming up in just a few minutes. So with the Horizon League starting tonight, you've got games tonight against Detroit Mercy. And then on Saturday, of course, this is going to be pretty exciting because for the first time ever, ESPN television is going to be in town broadcasting live from the Gates Center for the entire world to see on ESPNU. The Mastodons versus the Oakland Golden Grizzlies. It's the first chance for the Mastodons to have a home game on the national platform. And so this is a perfect opportunity for all Fort Wayne fans to come on out and show what it's like to have basketball here in the Summit City. And it's, well, first of all, being at the Gates Center, it's just a fun day. It's a fun day. You want to get back and you want to watch another game at the Gates Center because it's so much fun. And it actually was scheduled to be at the Coliseum, but because the ESPNU television window was 3 o'clock and the Mad Ants play at the Coliseum on Saturday night, the Dons couldn't delay the tip at the Coliseum from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. To play at 3 o'clock and to be on national TV, they had to switch the game over to on campus and play it at the Gates Center. So it's a Gates Center game on campus. That's free parking, cheap concessions, and it will start at 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon. Should be a lot of fun. I hope everybody comes out and fills that place, because when it is full, it is rocking. It is a great environment, and a game against Oakland, you always know it's going to be a war. So should be one heck of a Horizon League game, both tonight and on Saturday. In fact, taking a look at how things have gone so far in the Horizon League, of course, the two preseason favorites, Purdue Fort Wayne and Northern Kentucky, kind of sitting in the middle of the pack overall records out of their non-conference slate so far. Mastodons are 4-3. They are 3-0 at home. Meanwhile, Northern Kentucky, 3-1 at home, 3-4 overall. Detroit Mercy comes in with a 3-4 record. But they are 3-0 at home. They're 0-3 on the road and have a neutral loss. Leading the way, it's Wright State. Not surprising. Wright State every year competes for the championship. They're 5-2. They've played three home games. They're 2-1. They've won their only away game. And in fact, they got a couple of neutral site wins. So Wright State at 5-2, along with Youngstown State. Youngstown State might be the most impressive of all the Horizon League teams so far. Youngstown State picked up a couple of transfers, but if you look at who they've played with their seven games that were played non-conference in November, Canisius, they beat 92-81 on the road. They beat UT Martin by 18, 90-72 at home. They only lost by 7 to Notre Dame, and we just saw what Notre Dame did to Michigan State. And Youngstown State went in to the Joyce Center and battled almost back and forth with Notre Dame, lost by only 7 points. They had a win against UC San Diego by 19. They lost to Navy 80-67, but bounced right back and beat Western Illinois from the Summit League by 24, 88-64. The one thing's consistent is that Youngstown State is scoring a lot of points. They're one of the leaders in the country in points per game. So they're a very high scoring team. They're 5-2 so far. Milwaukee is 5-3, maybe a little bit of a surprise with Milwaukee under a new coach. Cleveland State, interesting that they jumped out and lost their first three games. They've responded by winning their next four as they head into conference play. They'll take on Oakland tonight. Cleveland State's 4-3. Detroit Mercy and Northern Kentucky, both 3-4. Robert Morris is 2-5. Oakland has struggled, but you have to look at the schedule that Oakland plays, because they play a very tough non-conference schedule. They've played Bowling Green, lost by 5. They played Oklahoma State and somehow got them at home, and they got blown out by Oklahoma State. They went to Toledo, and Toledo, one of the better teams in the MAC. They beat Eastern Michigan by 2 in overtime. Then where Oakland stumbled was in their Nassau Bahamas trip. They lost to Long Beach State 78-70, San Jose State 80-67, and Missouri State, a team the Mastodons will play coming up in another week or so, 76-64. So they come into the Coliseum with three straight losses after a 0-3 weekend or Thanksgiving week. I guess it was weekend because they played on Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the Bahamas, but they always play a really, really difficult schedule, and that's why it's tough to always gauge Oakland and how good they are when you look at who they play. They're 2-6, but they always play a really tough schedule. IUPUI 1-6, and Green Bay winless so far through six tries. That's where the Horizon League sits at this point. But again, tonight, Mastodons taking on Detroit Mercy. Hey, a big one coming up Saturday night down in Indianapolis. The Purdue Boilermakers taking on the Michigan Wolverines. That is the Big Ten championship game, and we've got a chance for you to go. That's right. We've got tickets, and we're giving them away. If you'd like to get free tickets to the Big Ten Championship between the Purdue Boilermakers and the Michigan Wolverines, all you've got to do is text PURDUE to 46862. That's right, 46862. That's the number. And then on the text line, you just put Purdue. That's all you have to put. And it's going to give you a bounce back to enter the information for the contest. You can get yourself registered. You can be a winner. We'll be actually announcing the winner of the tickets tomorrow here on the Sports Rush. So go ahead, get signed up. Purdue to 46862. And if you forget how to text, or you can't text, or you have no text, whatever, you can always get registered online at 1380thefan.com as we give you a chance to win tickets to the Big Ten Championship game Saturday night down in Indianapolis. We got to take a break. We've got Eric Dutkevich coming up next. You're listening to a Thursday edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Adam Lundy. Going to be heading out of here at the top of the hour, wrapping up the Sports Rush. And, of course, we've got the High School Coaches Show, a special 45-minute edition coming up at the top of the hour. And then it's Purdue Fort Wayne Detroit Mercy basketball live from the Coliseum. We've got tip time just after 7 o'clock, 6:45, the pregame show. And then we'll join the Bills Patriots with Thursday Night Football. So it's a big night here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. And, of course, if you were listening last weekend, while you enjoyed maybe a day of relaxation after stuffing the belly with turkey, we were down in Indianapolis where we were covering the high school football state championships. Want to talk about that more with our next guest joining us from Parkview Sports Medicine. It's Eric Dutkevich. Dut, how are you?
Brett, great to hear from you. It's been a couple of weeks. I know you had a, how was Cancun? I know it was busy for you and a busy week last week with Thanksgiving in there.
Yeah, I slipped off on a Friday to Evanston, Illinois, covered Northwestern, got back, had a day to pack, and head to Cancun last Sunday, a week ago Sunday, and then flew from Cancun directly to Indianapolis. Originally, I was supposed to get to Fort Wayne, but then that flight got changed somehow, and I ended up flying directly to Indianapolis so I could be there for the Carroll game on Friday night and the Adams Central game on Saturday morning, and then finally was able to get home and have, well, I guess as much of a day off as I can get because it seems like I'm either doing a game or prepping for a game, but yeah, it was pretty hectic. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, you got to go to Cancun. And it's like, you don't realize 3 days of that is nothing but film sessions, getting to meals on time and doing the prep and everything. There, it isn't like you're really on vacation. I mean, you're still, it almost is like two or three full days of work to enjoy one day off. And we did have a Thanksgiving where we kind of enjoyed it with the guys, had a dinner on Thanksgiving night, but I guess, you know, you can't complain, but it's not what you probably would perceive it to be as far as just some fun in the sun.
That's one thing about working in media. Your holidays, whatever holiday you do have, is usually accompanied by work anyway.
Yeah.
So, just from experience, I know that. And you know, dedication to your craft there, Rumpy.
Yeah, it was busy, but it was fun. It was worth it, and I can't trade it for anything. So I'll take it. Hey, let's talk about what we saw last weekend real quick, kind of put the bow on the football season. The Carroll Chargers. I kind of perceived, based on things I heard, some of the comments from people within the organization at Carroll, that maybe they had felt they had accomplished what they'd set out to accomplish by making it to the state championship game, not by expecting to win it. I just sense that maybe there was a certain gratification, satisfaction that they had gotten to Lucas Oil Stadium to prove it could be done. And maybe the focus wasn't on the win, but it was as much on the journey. And regardless, Center Grove, take nothing away from them. They were really good, big, physical, push Carroll around. But I think overall it could be a learning experience for our teams here in the Fort Wayne area.
Oh, yeah. I mean, going into it, I think, you know, there was, you know, you get to a state championship, in your mind you probably think you have somewhat of a chance. But also, too, realistically, that Center Grove team that lined up on the other side of them was just so dominant. It has been so dominant all year long, and really for the last four seasons, really for the last, I mean, 8 years. I think they've won 8 of the last 10 or something along those lines. 5 state titles in 8 years, and Class 6A started in 2013. So that gives you an idea of how dominant Center Grove has been. And really, you know, they go down there, they get the first field goal on their first drive, and they're leading the game. And I think, you know, Carroll probably had to feel pretty good. And then it was just the onslaught was on from there with the Trojans of Center Grove. And they proved to be their running game just amazing, 302 yards on the ground on 56 attempts. It's just one of those things where it's time and time again we see a lot when the Fort Wayne schools get that far. Some of those schools down in the Indy area, or maybe South Bend school at semi-state, really show you where a lot of that is. And I just wonder if that power game that those style of teams play is you know, a lot of finesse around here in the Summit City and the Summit Athletic Conference. That power game is really what pushes those teams to those state championships. And I think it's a good first start, a first time down there for Carroll, and I think it's only up for them because they've got a huge school, always more kids coming in, and I think we will see those Chargers have those opportunities to get down there. A lot of times, like you see with the Snyders and the Dwangers and the Lures in the last 30 years, those opportunities that will come up time and time again to get down to state again.
Yeah, and I think the line of scrimmage is really where we see the disparity right now. I think skill positions, we've got some really talented players as far as running backs, receivers. I think we've got a good group of quarterbacks. But that line of scrimmage where it seems like Indy just breeds 6'3 plus and 260 plus, and we just, you know, we've got guys 230, 240 that are sprinkled into these offensive lines. And they don't play against offensive lines that are as big and as skilled as a Center Grove and got pushed around a little bit. And so I think that's where maybe we learn where this the area needs to develop. If there are going to be 6A championships, that it's going to have to start at the line of scrimmage. And we'll see where it goes from here. Adams Central got closer last year than this year. Man, we thought maybe Indy Lutheran, you know, they lost their quarterback. They got hit by graduation at a few spots and thought maybe they're vulnerable. Well, you know, it was a pretty good display by Indy Lutheran. That's a really good football team. And I'll tell you what, Adams Central probably wins state with that football team about 75% of the time. But they weren't going to beat Indy Lutheran on Saturday. Just a really good Saint squad.
Yeah, I mean, both of these teams were the number one and number two teams coming in all year, pillar to post, Indianapolis Lutheran. And, of course, back-to-back perfect season now for the Saints of Indianapolis Lutheran as well. You know, AC, there again, jumps out to that 7-0 early lead, and then Lutheran just goes on a tear, scores 20 unanswered, and that was kind of all she wrote. You know, Jackson Willis, the Lutheran quarterback, 278 yards and 4 passing touchdowns. Devon Jones, their wide receiver, with 121 of those reception yards and 3 touchdowns. So, you know, the Indianapolis Lutheran came to play and put on a show, and that's exactly what they did. And kudos to Adams Central for getting down there again. Third straight year, an ACAC team makes it down to the state finals and represents our area pretty well. But, yes, it was just one of those things. And, you know, coming out of that semi-state, it was kind of like, well, you know, North Judson was similar to Adams Central. So, I mean, and then Adams Central just blows North Judson out of the water. Well, you know, we thought maybe, you know, Adams Central would have a chance in this game. And, you know, they hung with it for a while, and then it just got to be too much. But nothing to hang their heads low on coming out of that season. State runner up and certainly a lot to look forward to, and I'm sure they'll be back again. Keegan Bloom again with 157 yards, and Ryan Black with a great season all year long. So really good showing for them. Just came up a little bit short.
And you know, speaking of short, Eric Dukevich joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Wait, did I say that out loud? So, dude, I got to ask about the Boilermakers. They're taking on Michigan Saturday night, the big one down at Lucas Oil Stadium. I'm sure that that you're hearing it, that Michigan's going to roll all over your Boilermakers. But what can Purdue do to stay in this game against Michigan?
Well, I mean, I think for Purdue, their recipe has been just keep playing. I mean, for them, I mean, because they were counted out long ago to get the Big Ten West division with that home game against Iowa 3 or 4 weeks ago where they kind of rolled over, and really before that with Wisconsin. So to find themselves in this place they've just played, and the case for them was winning your end to get to the West Division title and then to the Big Ten championship. And now they're here at the Big Ten championship and winning your end, dare I say, to get to the Rose Bowl. So it's right in front of them. Michigan, no doubt about it. Number two team coming in, really good. They lead the FBS in margin of victory. They ran all over Ohio State last Saturday to win the East. Of course, their star running back, Blake Corum, sounds like he's going to be out for the season, reports say. And so that's a big hit for them. But then enter Donovan Edwards. So Purdue, you know, just keeping it early. Their rush defense has been their best part of their defensive side of the ball. The secondary's always kind of been suspect for me the last couple of years. But guys like Lawrence Johnson, the Snyder grad up front, they're going to have big games, the games of their lives. But this is why you get recruited and go to the big schools and sign your national letters of intent, because ultimately, end of the day, you want to play for championships. And for Purdue, that opportunity is here. And for Michigan, the opportunity still to go on to the national football playoff and the national championship and the semifinals, and win the whole thing there. So they've got a lot riding on this game as well. So it should be fun. It's a great opportunity for Purdue, and I know it's exciting for Purdue fans and Michigan fans as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan wins big, but, you know, I think for Purdue, it was getting to this point, too, kind of like we talked about with Carroll, and that's where things are with the Boilermaker program and under Jeff Brohm.
Hang the banner. Big Ten West champions, Purdue Boilermakers.
They don't need banners at Ross 8. That's the thing.
Well, yeah, it's something. I don't know. I don't know what you do. You paint it on the field for a couple of games.
It'll be somewhere. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, and yes, but they've gotten it, and they're the outright West champions, and maybe they can pull it out on Saturday.
And let's talk basketball, because now it's high school basketball season. Now the football's over, and we start our coverage tomorrow night out at Homestead. Brand new gym. Excited about being there as the Warsaw Tigers visit the Homestead Spartans. You know, we've actually gotten a better sampling of what's happening on the girls' side than the boys' side, since the girls start about 3 weeks earlier than the boys do. And when you look at the SAC and you look at this girls' race, it seems like it's Northrop and everybody else, especially after what happened last night. Northrop took care of Carroll by a final score of 81-52, and Carroll was considered one of the challengers. Is there a challenger to Northrop in the SAC?
Yeah, I come into this thinking, and this was a couple weeks ago when we started bantering the idea, but, Northrop looks to be the favorite to me, and that was preseason, and now coming into this, of course, both these teams, Northrop is number six in the 4A poll, and Carroll number seven, and just, you know, Northrop, it was lights out, and a lot of those Northrop girls played at Carroll the previous time, so a big rivalry game there for certain, and I think, you know, Northrop has been able to get pieces in, whether you like it or not. The addition of Destiny Craig, who I know sustained an injury last night, it would be interesting to see how that plays out. Lexi Castater comes over from Carroll. Brooklyn McMoore comes in from Michigan. Then, of course, the Jackson twins. So Northrop, I think, is the team to beat showing early, but Homestead is always waiting in the wings around the corner, and they play a tough schedule. Allie Stevens is back for them. Molly Stock is back, a strong freshman class led by Maya Epps. So Northrop for sure, Homestead right there with them, and then Snyder probably back another rung, if you will, just based off of where they were last year to this year with graduation and different players on that team.
And no offense to Maya Epps, but you don't replace an Ayanna Patterson. I mean, you know, and so it's like I look at Homestead and I'm thinking, you know, that's a rebuild, whether you want to say it is or not. I mean, they're always a challenger, but that's a team that's got a tough task to match what they've done the last couple of years, because they lose a superstar to UConn.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I don't think Maya Epps or anybody, for that matter, comes in thinking they're going to be Ayanna Patterson. But I think also there's a system in place that they can develop kids and get group and, you know, great players from the middle school level, bring them in. And the ability to play you know, as a freshman varsity and average 11 points a game so far, like she's doing, that's just great. And I think, you know, there's a lot of basketball we played. Homestead plays a tough schedule. Northrop is branching out and scheduling tougher games. And that's what we want to see in the girls' game across the SAC and across the area, is really quality matchups to really get those teams ready for postseason runs as well.
It should be a lot of fun tomorrow night. Homestead, Warsaw, again, these are two good basketball teams. I expect us to have a great one to get our boys' slate started. And, of course, the Parkview Sports Medicine postgame show is going to be broadcasting live at the Coventry Pizza Hut. You in?
I'm in. I'll be there. Looking forward to it. It's switching over from football to basketball. It's a fun time of year. Opportunity to hang out with you guys and late nights on Fridays and see all the great games and all the results and learn about so many different players that are coming down the pipe. That's the best part, is because we've been football, football, football. Now we switch over to basketball, and really looking forward to getting to see some of those storylines play out as the season goes on.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get my head to stop spinning after football season, and it's like, oh, man, I got to start looking at some of these basketball scores and figure out where we're at with basketball. And you go through media day, but again, you go from media day for basketball to about five more football games, and it's like, okay, now what did they tell me at media day? I got to kind of go back and try to refresh myself. But, no, it'll be a lot of fun tomorrow night. And by the way, dude, it's nice to be on the postgame side as opposed to the pregame side, because on the pregame side, all you can do is be wrong. And when you're on the postgame, you get every score right. That's the great thing, is no matter what, you'll have every score exactly right. So
Absolutely. Look
forward to seeing you and catching up with you tomorrow, dude. Appreciate the time today. What's the latest with Parkview Sports Medicine?
Yeah, for those of you who are, we have our PSM Performance Winter College Training. So if you're a college student coming home, or maybe some, your child is coming home for the holidays from college and wants to do some winter training, we got a special time from December 5th, starting next week, December 5th through January 7th, Monday through Friday, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Sport One Parkview Fieldhouse. Come on by. More information, and an Empowered Sports Club as well. For more information, you can just check out all the information on our tab at the parkviewsportsmedicine.com/performance page.
We got it. Thanks, Dude.
All right. Have a good one. See you tomorrow night.
Yep. That is Eric Dutkevich from Parkview Sports Medicine joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. We'll take a break. We'll put the final touches on this Thursday edition of the Sports Rush next on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush for a final time. I am Brett Rump along with Adam Lundy. We're just about to turn it over to the High School Coaches Show. It's now a basketball edition, and it comes up next here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Mastodons basketball live from the Coliseum. Horizon League Conference play begins tonight as the Detroit Mercy Titans are in town. That means Mike Davis, former IU coach, and Antoine Davis, his son, now taking on his fifth year, and he gets that extra COVID year, and it's going to give him a chance to not only become the Horizon League's all-time leading scorer, but he's got a chance at a run at Pistol Pete Maravich's all-time NCAA scoring mark. But he'll be at the Coliseum tonight with the Mastodons taking on Detroit Mercy. A 7:02 tip-off. That means we'll be on the air with the pregame show starting at 6:45. Got to thank our guests that appeared on the show today. Of course, Ben Boudreaux, Comets coach. Always great to talk to Coach Boudreaux. Comets at home Friday and Saturday. And Kent Sterling, out of Indianapolis, longtime radio host, future radio host, Kent Sterling. Big thanks to him for joining us as well. And you just heard from Eric Dutkevich from Parkview Sports Medicine. I got to get across town. Got a game to call tonight. I hope you join us either in person or right here on the air for Mastodons basketball. That does it for the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.